Well, on this point, Mr. Sadek, we also have the senior Egyptian cleric also saying that the election of Sisi would appease, quote, the Zionists. As our guest, Mr. Glenn, there was referring to the role of the U.S. in Israel. What do you think about the U.S. position? Because the Muslim Brotherhood has been saying that the U.S. showed to people in Egypt and in the region that it's not concerned with the democratic process in these countries, but with its own interests and the interests of its allies. What's your idea on that?
Well, first of all, the Muslim Brotherhood is not a pro-democracy movement since its inception. You know, Hassan al-Banna and Sayyid Qutb were not Thomas Jefferson or Jean-Jacques Rousseau of democracy or Islamic democracy. What they have in mind is something that is sort of anarchy. They talk about an Islamic caliphate. I don't know how you're going to unify 57 Muslim states. You have the organization of the Islamic Conference. Have you ever heard about an Islamic Schengen visa or anybody wanted to adopt the Muslim Brotherhood illusion that they were selling to the poor masses? I don't think anybody had been buying the illusion, and people began to realize that the Muslim Brotherhood, whom its leaders had escaped to Qatar, where you have the two biggest American military bases in the Gulf, or NATO Turkey, or London Stand, the country that produced the Balfour Declaration. And then you call and you and then they accuse the Egyptian government or the Egyptian people that they are puppets to the Americans. Who is the real puppet of the Americans and imperialism? That is also very interesting to see. Who had been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and helped in establishing this movement in 1928 when Egypt was under British occupation, but the British intelligence, because they wanted to divide the Egyptian national movement by creating this organization that gives you religious slogans about Islamic unity and caliphate, but in fact they were working everything against it. What did they do up till today? What was the achievement toward Islam? Are we talking about a political party or a religious society? Why they are mixing between the two? Sometimes they tell you we are religious. Yes. Sometimes people believe and think they are Islam or equivalent to Islam, or they are the chosen people among Muslims. There is no clergy in Islam, but they have established themselves and monopolized Islam as if they were Islam. If you remove them, as if Islam had been attacked.
What you say here, I'd like to raise that point with our guest, Mr. Glenn, as well. Mr. Glenn, those who are supporting Sisi have been saying this. They say that the United States has been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. They're even accusing the U.S. of failing to support the current road map or the road plan right now for Egypt. What's your response to that? Because you are saying that the United States actually supporting the current administration and Sisi.
Absolutely. In the early days of the military coup that took place last year, Barack Obama and his administration made noises, just noises, in the direction of protesting against what had taken place. Just the usual Western noise. It's nothing but hypocrisy. But the fact of the matter is that if this coup had taken place and if it had been against Washington's interest, and if it had been against Israel's interest, then the United States would have rolled in there the way that it has rolled into Libya, the way that it rolled into Iraq and other countries. So we have to look at the Obama administration's early noises after the military takeover as basically just theatricism. In the back doors, when the microphones were away and when the cameras were away, Sisi was getting his marching orders, he was getting his promises and his assurances, even to this moment. If it really were against the United States' interest to have a Sisi rise to power, we would see all of the kind of turmoil that we saw in Egypt 2 and 3 years ago that led to the ouster of Mubarak. So, you know, we have to be very keen about understanding the way that special effects are applied to political situations like this in order to create certain illusions. Sisi is going to be Washington's man. He is going to be Israel's man. The Israeli ambassador to Egypt sent a note to Sisi in the early days of the junta last year, congratulating him and telling him that he was a hero for Israel, he was a hero for Jews worldwide. He is exactly who they need in power right now. And I think that this basically puts an exclamation point on this whole notion concerning the quote-unquote revolution, the Arab Spring, especially as it took place in Egypt. There was nothing springy about it. There was nothing revolutionary about it. It was just chopping off one head and replacing it with another.
Well, before we move on, I'm just hearing that we're going to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page by our viewers. We'll take a look at those comments and we'll be right back.
The U.S. is supporting the interests of American corporations and banks only. Anywhere, everywhere, at any price. Democracy, as we all know, is a camouflage. It's the dirtiest word in the dictionary. The United States is only after one thing, economic interest. Whether Egypt undergoes further political unrest or becomes stable is not her problem. I thought Egypt already had an election and that Dr. Morsi won. So Zionists didn't like him, overthrew him, banned Islamic parties, and then organized another election. It's really hard to make up something like this. What a big shame on the Western world today, as Egyptians go to the polls to elect a new president after the Western-backed military overthrew the country's first democratically elected president. Where lies the justice?
Just some of the comments posted on our Facebook page. There, I'll go quickly to Mr. Sadek in Cairo. A lot of criticism made, Mr. Sadek, by viewers there concerning the role of the United States. And what Mr. Glenn was saying earlier on, we've been hearing that recent polls in Egypt and in the region show that people disapprove of the way President Obama has been handling the situation, not just in Egypt, but in the Middle East. Do you think that there should be concern, as Mr. Glenn was saying earlier, about the independence of Egypt now? Because, you know, if we think that Sisi is, as Mr. Glenn put it, Washington's and Israel's man, then where will this leave independent policies that could be adopted and based on the demands, of course, of the majority of the Egyptian population?
Well, we have to take into consideration that Mubarak also was America's man, and they let him down. It is not a unilateral or a linear relationship. The Americans or Washington dictates and then Cairo obeys. Again, this is an oversimplification of Egyptian-American relations. There is mutual interest, strategic cooperation between Egypt and the United States. There is peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, and there is no interest in anybody to threaten that. Even Mr. Morsi, when he was ruling Egypt, again, for the viewer who have still this illusion that Morsi was against Israel, Morsi and all the Muslim Brotherhood leaders, stressed many times that they will keep the Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty. He also brokered a very important peace or a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. So this illusion that the Muslim Brotherhood is the Viet Cong or Che Guevara of the Middle East is a big, big lie. Of course, Egyptian-American relations can have also points of contention. There are many differences on many issues, but there are also some areas of cooperation. When America suspended military aid to Egypt, Egypt went to Moscow. And so this idea that we are subservient to the Americans and they can dictate whatever they want is not true. In fact, a recent American congressional and a Pentagon visit to Egypt concentrated on one topic: what is the nature of Egyptian-Russian military cooperation? And that again shows you they are not that in total control. Many officials in the White House admit they don't have that big control over Egypt. I mean, it is only in the media that you do this or that. In fact, there was a recent cabinet reshuffle, and the spokeswoman of the the State Department said we were surprised about this shuffle and we didn't know anything about it. And that again shows you they don't know much. It is a big illusion and exaggeration that they know everything in Egypt and they control it. Why didn't they keep the man, Mubarak?
Well, let's go to Mr. Glenn on that. Mr. Glenn, our guest here is saying we shouldn't oversimplify the situation here. And when we're speaking about this relationship, it's not the U.S. ordering and Egypt obeying. I'd just like to bring in a quote here. Daniel Kurtzer, former U.S. ambassador to both Israel and Egypt, saying that a strong U.S.-Egyptian relationship is necessary for the U.S. to achieve its many objectives in the Middle East. How do you think that relationship is looking now?
Well, I would certainly agree that there is some elasticity that exists. It's not as rigid as some would like to appear, but at the end of the day, even the most elastic bands can be used as a leash in controlling, you know, with in one hand and then around the neck on the other. As far as Mubarak and Morsi, yes, it's true Mubarak was America's man for a long time, but there were certain things where his interests diverged from those of the United States and Israel. Namely with war against Iran, and he started making noises, and of course his old age threatened that a real revolution could take place in Egypt if one of his cronies was elected to replace him. And I believe that this is the reason why Mubarak was removed. I believe this is the reason that Morsi was removed. Yes, he did do certain things. The Muslim Brotherhood said that they would maintain the peace treaty with Israel, but at the same time, Morsi also was insistent upon Iran being a part of any peace talks involving the situation in Syria. Now, it's true that the Russians have made several trips to Egypt. You've had, I believe, the foreign ministry has been there. I believe the defense ministry has been there. And it is true that there has been this appearance where Egypt has been brokering what appears to be close relationships or closer relationship with Russia. But at the end of the day, if Egypt still is receiving $1.5 billion a year from the United States, in foreign aid and in military surplus hardware and things like that, then these ties with Russia mean nothing. And I think that at the end of the day, that is exactly what's going to happen. Because for the simple reason, as I said earlier, if this thing were really going in a direction that we're going to undermine Israel's interests in the region, America's interests in the region, then all of a sudden NATO would be involved and you would see a repeat of what took place in Libya against Egypt.
Well, thank you very much. I'm afraid we've got to stop it there because we've run out of time. A big thank you to a guest in Idaho there, Mr. Mark Glenn, author and political commentator. And a big thank you to a guest in Cairo, Mr. Saeed Sadek, professor of political sociology. Thank you so much for being with us on another edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lizki. It's goodbye.